join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with the change of plans.
God sometimes changed plans because we're pursuing our purpose, but it wasn't his purpose. We're pursuing what's on our mind, but it's not necessarily what's on his mind. And so God sometimes changes things. Now look at, we all quote this, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, we all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to what? To his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to what? His purpose. Key words there is his purpose. Now, let's stop there for a minute, because a lot of people, Christian, we're always quoting, child, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Now, if I go deeper, this is really talked about as a result of praying in the Spirit. Because you back up, when you read it in context, Romans 8:26, it says, and likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered, okay? When we pray with groanings which cannot be uttered in our own known language, and which is praying in the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on to say, as a result of praying in the Holy Ghost, and we know, all things work together for good. So when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, God's working out things. I don't even understand how he's working it out. He's fixing things. I don't even understand how he's fixing, because the Bible says when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying not what's on my mind, but I'm praying the mind of God. I'm praying the mind of Christ. I'm praying the perfect will of God. And when I pray and speak and declare the perfect will of God, what happens? Here's the result. Romans 8:26. All things, and we know all things work together for good to them. Here we go. There's conditions for things working out for good. Number one, you got to love God. Now, if you love God, you put him first. He's priority. And then secondly, says to them that are called. And it says called according to his purpose. So watch this. There's some people don't love God. There's some people love God, but they're not called according to his purpose. And then some people are called, but now you're not living according to his purpose. You're called, but he didn't tell you to do that. You're called, but he didn't tell you to go there. So now that I'm called, I have to live my life according to his purpose. Okay? Classic example. I talk about this all the time. Now, before I ever went to Charlotte, North Carolina, I came to Columbia, South Carolina. I had never been to, years ago, was a friend of mine. She's like a big sister to me. Her name is Carol Deutsch, right? I went with her and her family back in the early 80s. I was in college, to their family reunion down in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. That's as far south as I had ever been, you know, by myself or as an adult, whatever. And I didn't know anything about the South. So when the Lord calls me, he sends us here to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, I didn't choose the city nor the state. We're here according to God's plan, according to his purpose. Well, later on, you know, I traveled to, I started traveling, and we would go to Charlotte, man. Well, Charlotte got a little, I don't mean no harm. Y'all know this is our hometown. This is where we live, where my church is. But Charlotte got a little more going on than Columbia, okay? Particularly somebody like me, like to shop, like nice things. So we don't go to real nice mall, you know, the designer mall, we go to Charlotte. When we really want to eat good, we got nice restaurants here, but we don't have cheese factory here. I mean, Cheesecake Factory here in Columbia. We got to go to Charlotte for that. We don't, or somebody, I know some people here from South Carolina say, oh, Greenville. Now we got one in Greenville. Or, you know, PF Chang. We don't have that here. That's in Charlotte. Capitol Grill, one of my favorite steak restaurants. We don't have that here in Columbia. I got to go to Charlotte for that. Fleming's, another nice steakhouse. We don't have that here in Columbia. We got to go to Charlotte. And then they got much nicer homes in Charlotte. I started really liking Charlotte. I said, man, I could go. And then, you know, we got people in our ministry who have moved to Charlotte. And they moved to Charlotte. And they usually, they tell me, I ain't going to say they're lying because they mean well. Oh, Pastor, you know, it's only 90 minutes. It's only 90 minutes up to 90 miles up the road. Just take me an hour and 15 minutes. I'll be coming back and forth. They'll start off saying that. And then they don't come. Because now they not only do they live in Charlotte, you know, they get on Sunday morning, they don't feel like taking that drive. Okay. Pastor Marshall, we would go to games and go to things in Charlotte. And then I said, we're gonna stay there and we're gonna get up early in the morning and be back. And I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and drive back at 6 o'clock to be home for 7:30 service. That took some effort. And I said, yeah, I understand. I understand why they're not doing that. So my point is we love Charlotte. I love Charlotte. Okay, it got more of the arts there, more restaurants in terms of what. But for me to move to Charlotte, I would not be living according. I wouldn't be living according to His purpose. Yes, I love God. Yes, I'm called. But once now I move to Charlotte, okay. Now for me, I'm not living according to His purpose. What am I saying here? Do you really live according to God's purpose, or you live a part of His purpose? You got to live and do and be where God tells you to be. All right? That verse from the New Living Translation, Romans 8:28, New Living Translation. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Oh, that's so good right there. Are you living according to His purpose for you? Or you just living to, or you say, well, we say, I live for the Lord. What does that mean? Let's go back. Do you allow Him to be involved in every detail of your life? Okay. I was talking to a young man this week. I was talking to a young man this week who's getting ready to get married. And his fiance, or woman he's considering getting married, is from a much more subdued background than our church, okay? And some of y'all, our church is subdued compared to your church, okay? There's some church who dance every Sunday. They don't do nothing else. They're going to dance. We may or may not dance, okay? But some people like, you ain't been to church unless you're dancing, okay? I mean, but Sunday we went in, you know, y'all saw, okay? And but if you come from a background that, you know, of just hymns and anthems, that's just too much. And so I was talking to him and I said, now you need to make sure that this background is comfortable for her or whatever, you know, if you're going to come to church and come here. Then I also thought this here. I said, now I think a man and woman should go to the same church. I said, but otherwise that may cause problems for you. Then I thought it may not cause problems because everybody don't desire the same thing. That may be fine. I said, it's the vision that you have for your life. And for your marriage, okay? For me, that would have been a problem. I wanted my wife and I to be on the same page, hearing the same thing. But I guess I used to say things like that. Now I back up. I'm like, hey, what I want for you may not be what you want for you. You may be willing to settle for something else. And so sometimes we are settling for our purpose when God got greater purpose. Things are going to work out for you if you love God and if you're called according to His purpose for you. Sometimes things are not working out for good because you're not living according to His purpose for you. That's a scripture that's made. Don't matter what you do, where you go, everything gonna work out. It all gonna work out the end. That's not true, y'all. Everything just don't work out at the end. some stuff that is, there's a path that leads to eternal life, and there's a path that leads to destruction. Everything don't just work out. Don't live with that type of stupid mantra, that unwise, that unwise type of life model. It all gonna work out at the end. That's not true. The Bible said there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So they ain't all just gonna work out in the end because God's God. It's gonna work out at the end for your good if you live according to his purpose for you. And if you're not, then you need to be willing to allow God to change your plans. Glory to God. That verse from the Amplified, got to move on here. Romans 8:28 from the Amplified. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. That's Romans 8:28 from the Amplified. Let me read it again. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good, not for everybody, but for to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. It's going to work out. It's going to fit together if you live according to his design and purpose. So the question, does that scripture apply to everyone? No, it doesn't. You got to make up in your mind, I want to live according to his design and his purpose. Not my design, not my purpose, not me just coming up with my own plans and then say, bless it. Not me going where I want to go and then say, God, come over here with me. You know, there's a scripture where Moses, God has tells Moses, go speak to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go. I'm going to take you into the wilderness and through the wilderness into the promised land. And Moses second guesses himself and he second guesses God, or he wants confirmation from God. He said, now, okay, God, I need to make sure you're telling me this. And I need to make sure you're going to go with me. And then he says, God, because he says, if you don't go with us, take us not there. Don't take us there if you ain't going with us. Come on, we ought to live by that model. If God ain't in it, I don't want to be in it. If God don't take me, I don't want to go. And so he says to God, I'm trying to look for the scripture where he says, God, if your presence is not there, if you don't lead us, I don't want to go. Stop planning your life and then backing into things and now asking God to bless this mess. And sometimes God will. That's what God had to do with Abraham and Sarah. They came up with Ishmael and it caused all kind of issues. It caused drama in the house. It caused problems between Sarah and Hagar. And God had to bless that mess. And that mess is still going on now. That mess now is still causing terrorism. That mess now is still causing enmity in Israel. All because Abraham tried to help God and were not living according to God's plan and God's purpose. And they wanted to live according to their purpose. I was trying to find that scripture. Here we go. Exodus 33:15. Thank you. Exodus 33:15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God, if you ain't going, I don't want to go. I know, God, the company wants me to move to such and such a state. And they said they're going to give me a great relocation package. And they're going to help me with a down payment on a home. And they're going to give me a relocation bonus. But God, if your presence going not with me, don't you let me go there. God, this woman looks fine. Look like I have pretty babies with her. But God, if you ain't in this, I don't care how fine she is. God, if this ain't the woman you have for me, I don't want her. God, if this ain't the man you want for me, I don't want him. Even if it looked like he the last train coming and my biological clock and all the arms have fallen off my watch and clock and it ain't ticking anymore. It's clunking and it stopped working. I don't care, God. If your presence ain't going with me into this marriage, I don't want it. That verse from the Amplified said, then Moses said, I love this. Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. God, I'm going to stay right here. I'm talking South Carolina talk. Leave me right here. I can do bad by myself. I will suffer right where I am than to jump out the frying pan into the fire. God, if your presence don't go, I don't want to go. If you're not in it, I don't want to be in it. If you're not there, I don't want to be there. Well, God's everywhere, but that doesn't mean that you are in his purpose and in his will. Are y'all hearing me? Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying right now. I know it looks good. I know it sounds good. I know everybody else is saying, girl, you crazy not to do this. Man, you definitely don't. That sound like, it sound like God to me. Sometimes it's good, but it's not God. It can be good, but not God. What's the difference? One too many O's. It's good, but it's not God. Are y'all listening to me? Look at Job 33:14-17. This is showing how God works. Many times we got plans, but we need to allow God to change our plans. Job 33, starting at verse 14, it says this: for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He said, God keep talking to you, and actually you don't understand. You don't hear. Remember when God called Samuel as a child? He called him twice. And then he goes to Eli. Eli said, oh, that sounds like God. Next time he calls, says, your servant hears. And then God will give you more detail. God will try to get your attention. He won't tell you everything. He'll say, well, listen, I need you to stop long enough just to hear me. Job 33:14, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Then it shows ways that God will speak. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon his bed. He said, God will talk to you in a dream. God will talk to you in a vision. He said, even when the sleep, deep sleep fall, he'll talk to you. He said, sometime in slumbering is a quick nap, a cat nap. When you're just dozing off, God will speak to you. I know, I'm a living witness to that. But for the New Testament, really what it means is that God will lead you by your spirit. Verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men and seals the instruction. He'll speak when you listen, then he will tell you what he wants to tell you. And he'll seal your instruction. He'll solidify what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to do it, who you're supposed to do it with, when you're supposed to do it. He'll give more details to your instruction. But why does he do this? This verse 17 is really important. That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Sometimes you got all these plans, all these ideas that seem really good. And God said, okay, you need to let me speak. I know you planned this, you invested, you put money in it. You told everybody what you're going to do. But if you need to hear me, open up your ears, let me seal your instruction. He said, let me draw. He said, I know you're full of pride right now. I know you're saying you don't want to tell anybody you changed your plan. You had got too much money involved in it. You already made deposits. He said, all that. He said, I understand all that. He said, but that's pride. Allow me to speak to you. Allow me to draw you out of your purpose, get you my purpose. Let me get you out of your plans and get you into my plans. He draws man away from his purpose, and he hideth pride from man. That verse from the New Living Translation, it says, he makes them turn from doing wrong, and he keeps them from pride. Sometimes you're doing stuff. It's not sinful. It's just not God. It's good. It cannot be God. And sometimes, as New Living Translation says, it can just be wrong. God wants to turn you from doing wrong and keep you from pride. Another scripture says, a haughty spirit comes before, pride comes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Don't let pride lead you to a fall. Don't let pride lead you off a cliff, because you won't be humble enough to allow God to order your steps and direct your path. Change your plans. I know I said I was going to do that. Change your plans. Yeah, I may lose the $700 for my Beyonce ticket, but change your plan. Yeah, I know. Yes. Okay. In my case of when I got removed, when I moved back to New York, living in a hotel in March, April, 1995, it's in my book. Give you more details about my book, Defining Moments of Faith. And I and I no longer had a job in Oklahoma, going to take this job in New York. And now, you know, my wife and kids, four children back home, only one income is mine. And I'm in there. The Lord said to me, go back to Oklahoma. And once I resigned from that job, they had no other jobs for me. That was it. Okay. But the Lord said, somebody said, did that take a lot of humility? It took humility. But let me tell you this. I had been out the will of God before. And once that, if you ever, Sussie, some of y'all don't know what this is like. If you ever really been out the will of God, if you actually really been in the wilderness and you didn't know where the food was coming from, and you crying out for water, you got to eat, you hoping God give you manna, you will say, I will never, ever again be out the will of God. You can't pay me to be out the will of God. I want to be in God's will. And if I got to eat humble pie or reorder my steps or lose a deposit, I will go back so I can be in the will of God. Somebody know what I'm talking? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you got to be real careful, y'all, because people have you fulfilling their purpose while unfulfilling God's purpose for you. Let me say that again. People have you fulfilling their purpose while unfulfilling God's purpose for you. And if you don't know God's purpose for your life, somebody else will use you to fulfill theirs. Church of God in Christ mother told me that many years ago when I was as Elder Bailey. Said, Elder Bailey, if you don't know God's purpose for your life and God's vision for your life, somebody else will use you to fulfill theirs. Amen. I see hands going up there. People will have you satisfying them while dissatisfying God. People will have you pleasing them while displeasing God. And it takes many times humility and sometimes Holy Ghost boldness to have the conviction to please God more than pleasing people. In Acts 4, 18 and 19, they told Peter and John after the miracle of the man at the temple, who was lame, and he got up and went into the temple jumping and leaping and praising God. They threatened Peter and John and said, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Acts 4, 18 and 19, it says, and they called them, and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge that. In other words, say, he said, now you really think we're going to obey you more than we obey God? He said, now you determine whether you, come on, scratch your head on that one. You think we're going to disobey God to obey you? Obey you and disobey God? Come on, it takes boldness and conviction to obey God more than man. It takes boldness and conviction to please God rather than pleasing yourself. Acts 5 and 29. It says, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So sometimes changing the plans, allowing God to change your plan, is because you have to have your mind made up. I'm going to obey God more than I obey men. I said to someone the other day, okay, now there are sometimes reasons to leave a church. I'm not one of these pastors who curse people because they left a church. If everybody who leave a church is out the will of God, then that meant you would necessarily, then you was out the will of God when you came out, church. Because I didn't birth everybody. Everybody didn't get born again in my church. Some people, God directed them, and they were in other churches. And you know it's the will of God for you to come to get connected to Right Direction or to me or the church that you're connected to. Okay? So if it's the will of God, if it's never the will of God for somebody to leave a church, then my church wouldn't have grown. Because we grew organically. We grew from people having babies. We grew from people inviting their friends and family. We grew from people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at our church. But we also grew because God changed people out of one fold and brought them into another fold. But likewise, so if God can bring them, God may send them. Okay? Now, that ain't everybody. And the reason why I'm open-minded enough about that is because one of my homegirls here was my former, we adults now, but one of my former Sunday school students, Marnetta, we grew up together in Full Gospel. Well, Bishop Bailey and Mother Bailey, they didn't want me to leave Full Gospel when I left there. That was 1986. When I was in Maine and I left the Church on Christ, we were in 1996. I was doing a lot of things there. The pastor, he didn't want me to leave, but that was the will of God for us to leave there and move and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was in 1992. And then when we were there in Oklahoma in 1992, and we were with the pastors, we were there, Apostle Milford and Evelyn Carter, and we left there in 1995 to come to Columbia, South Carolina. They didn't want us to leave, but I know that was the will of God. And look what God has done. We know we heard God. And so what I'm saying about that is that sometimes you have to know when God is speaking to you. And so I don't pronounce curses on people's lives. I tell ministers who say, well, you know, the Lord told me to start a church. And sometimes I'll say, well, I don't see that, but I don't have to see it. You need to see it more than I need to see it. And I said, time will tell. Time will tell. And there are people who told me that and nothing has happened. There are people who told me that and they tried to do it for 2 or 3 years and they shut it down, okay, because nothing was happening. And then there are people who have done it in the will of God and God has prospered it and grown. The Bible says wisdom is known by its fruit. If God, if you're in the will of God, it's going to produce. But what I'm saying to you is that you got to know God's plan, and I'm not going to hold back people from pursuing what God said that you're supposed to pursue. But you got to make sure you're called not according to your ambition, but according to his will. Not called, and you don't leave places out of offense. You don't leave places out of competition. Can I tell you this? Especially for talented people, there may be people sitting here right now watching me and teach better than him. I could do that. And maybe you could, but that may not be God's purpose for you. God doesn't always choose the best looking, the best talented. The Bible says that he chooses, he takes the foolish to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his sight.
If there is anything we've learned in the last year, it's that plans change. Sometimes our plans are just that, our plans. They're not God's plans for us. Do you allow God to change your plans? In this teaching, be encouraged to be open to God, changing your plans so that he can order your steps and direct your life. To order, just call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info and ask for a change of plans.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.